Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Instigators with Pauly D and Chris Kotsopoulos.
Oh, here we go.
That's a bunch of garbage.
And it's being proven right now.
Oh, absolutely. I was a staunch defender of that.
You know, if he doesn't stand on his head in the second period, we don't have a chance.
Save by Lundqvist. But Henrik, why not? That's a chance, and that's the reason why.
Fans are really, really knowledgeable on that, and I'm very impressed with that. That's anybody else but Alex Ovechkin. That's an automatic suspension.
With this specific player, if he doesn't get 10 games or more, it's a disgrace in the face of the NHL.
Welcome to the insanity we like to call the Instigators Hockey Show. I'm Pauly D. He's former NHL defenseman Chris Kotsopoulos. Some of tonight's topics will be Mike Richards gets waived. We'll talk about the All-Star Game disaster. We'll look around the league. We'll talk New York Rangers and probably a whole hell of a lot more right here on the Instigators Hockey Show. Make sure you check out chriskotsopoulos.com, located in the link section of the show page. Hit us up on Facebook, MySpace, and Twitter. If you have a question or a comment for the show, would like to advertise with us, shoot us an email at theinstigatorshockeyshow@gmail.com. And if you need a website designer or page lift, Kotsy's Designs, owned by Cody Kotsopoulos. Cody offers website and blog design, creation of logos, letter marks, combination marks, advertisement flyers, and a lot more. For more details and contact information, go to kotsysdesigns.com. Or you can follow the link located in the link section of the show page. Quick shout out to Pasco County I-9 Sports and Experience Beyond the Game. All right. That's under 2 minutes right there. That's pretty damn good. You try it at home next time.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah. All right. There's a lot to do. We missed a week. Unfortunately, you know, life does come first, but a lot to talk about around the NHL. Kotz, I don't know if you want to keep everybody updated on what you've been doing. I know you did a little hockey event with the New York Rangers. I know you've been covering the Quinnipiac Bobcats. I know there's a lot of things going on in your world as well. So.
Actually, I haven't done it very much the last couple of weeks, Pauly. Just the thing with Ron Grescher at Skylands Rink in Stockholm, New Jersey. That was like 2 weeks ago. And I didn't go with the Bobcats last week because they were going out to Massachusetts. And I'll be there this week, though. It's a big weekend for the Quinnipiac Bobcats. They're at Brown, which is in Rhode Island, Friday. I'll be there. And then the next night, the Battle of the Neighborhoods, Yale Bulldogs and the Quinnipiac Bobcats. And trust me, just go try and Google a ticket for that game and see how much it'll cost you.
Yeah.
It'll be a packed house at Yale for that. But that's about it lately. Other than that, just, you know, camping out at home, watching hockey. Now we got hockey back on after that all-star interruption.
That's exactly what it is.
All right, listen, exactly, let's get into that, right? You want to get into that, or you want to get into your history of hockey thing? Which one?
Yeah, let's do this state in hockey history. As always, I got a couple of doozies, and I got hockey humor tonight, too. The state in hockey history, January 28th, 1992. One of my favorites, Brett Hull became just the second player in NHL history to record back-to-back seasons of 50 goals in 50 games. Wayne Gretzky had done it, so in 83 and 84, he scored number 50 in the 3-3 Blues tie at Los Angeles. In January 28, 1973, Jean Rattel scored twice to become the fourth player in franchise history to score 250 goals as a member of the Rangers. The milestone goal came along with an assist. The New York Rangers beat the visiting Toronto Maple Leafs 5-2. And hockey story humor. Rob Murray wasn't making his NHL debut when Winnipeg was playing in Detroit on November 19th, 1992. But no one bothered to inform Jets teammate Teemu Selanne. When Murray scored, Selanne, thinking it was Murray's first NHL goal, fished the puck out of the net and presented it to him. Teemu skated up and said, "Congratulations." Murray remembered and said, "I said to Teemu, 'I've scored in the league before, Teemu.'" And Teemu said, "Well, I'm not taking the puck back to the referee." And Murray told that story and thought it was quite funny as they both chuckled on the bench. That, I tell you, I like these hockey story humors because it's some good, you know, it's good stuff, man. That's pretty funny. Teemu Selanne goes and fishes the puck out of the net. Gives it to him. He's like, "Bro, I scored before in the league." "Well, I ain't giving the puck back to the referee," he says. That's funny, man. That's good
stuff.
Well,
yeah. What do you want him to do? He's already been caught. So he's not going to look like even more of an idiot. Probably nobody caught on to it either.
Oh, bet you that was funny in the locker room.
Well, that was like me right after the Ranger game last night. I put down that the Rangers got Boston next. I jumped the gun. People are like notifying me, "It's the Montreal Canadiens." And I'm like, "I know already. What do you want me to say?"
I know.
I kind of blew it, but, you know, hey. Hey,
yeah.
We all make mistakes. We're hockey players.
Yeah, well, guess what? I saw that post last night. We'll talk about it later on, but my God. After the first guy said it was enough. But anyway, all right, let's do this. We are going to talk about the All-Star disaster right after this. I just want to – obviously, I find this to be pretty big news, and most hockey fans would, with the Kings placing Mike Richards on waivers. I mean, here's a guy who was at one time the captain of the Philadelphia Flyers, got traded, went to Los Angeles, and let me just get into some of the specifics here, and we'll move through this pretty quick. Mike Richards' locker was gone and already taken by right wing Jordan Nolan at the Los Angeles Kings practice facility on Monday. The space was literally about 5 feet from where Richards sat in his introductory press conference 4 years ago when he was traded to the Kings. Quick removal might seem cold, but it was the only option left for Kings general manager Dean Lombardi, who put Richards on waiver. Lombardi can no longer justify paying the underperforming Richards, especially with the pending unrestricted free agency of right wing Justin Williams and center Jared Stahl and defenseman Robin Regier. Richards has a full 5 seasons remaining on a 12-year contract extension he signed with the Flyers in December of 2007. His annual average salary cap is 5.75.
Oh,
now. Yeah. I mean.
Oh, I'd love to be Mike Richards right now.
Well, you know, the article went on, and there's a lot of things. It was I got to tip my hat to Dean Lombardi in this for one thing, being a pretty good guy. He could have bought Richards out this summer. And in the article discussed that he felt that Richards still has game left in him and gave him the courtesy of not buying him out but letting him know that he's expecting more out of him. Apparently he hasn't gotten that, so now he's been put on waivers. I mean, obviously they still got to pay the bill. You know, as long as he's playing, they're going to be paying the bill. But, you know, it just goes to show you how these long-term, crazy, stupid deals. You're going to be surprised.
How come a guy like Paul Holmgren wasn't GM in my day and gave me one of those 12-year deals? What a dumbbell.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, great. Listen, though.
Yeah.
Paulie, it's like you getting sent to your room as a kid. Okay, that's what's happened to Mike Richards now. How his star and that shine on that star has fallen in a short amount of time. But I wouldn't mind being sent to my room knowing I got 5 years left at almost $6 million a year.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No doubt.
You know, depending on the animosity between him and Dean Lombardi, which I don't know, we don't know the true facts of this, but, you know, there's been some rumblings about Richards's off-ice activities when he's in Philadelphia, and that was why, one of the reasons why they traded him and all that to Los Angeles. But, you know, if he's angry about it, you know what? I'd make them pay me the rest of my contract, and they could send me wherever they want. If they send me to the East Coast League, I'll go down there and buy the team a bus, a luxury bus with my money. You know what I mean? I don't know what the story is there. I mean, other than him not performing, he did basically, he was a major contributor for them to winning two Stanley Cups, let's face it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't say that he didn't help that team along the way. He did.
No, he did, you know. I agree with you. I'm surprised, like most general managers, though. I mean, you know, there's a lot of good guys, and, you know, it's not a personal thing. It's all about business. But having, I mean, you look at the Rangers, you know, they bought out Brad Richards. I don't think Brad Richards was a total dump, but you look at it, and on a, you know, and on a business sense, it just doesn't, it doesn't make sense, especially in a, you know, the cap league that it is.
But you know, you got to give Lombardi credit.
Go ahead.
Yeah, but Lombardi's pushed all the right buttons there. Let's face it.
Yeah.
You know, he's pushed the right buttons. They won two Stanley Cups. You know what I mean? And he, I guess he knows what he's doing. But if I'm Mike Richards, I want to get paid in full.
Yeah.
There'll be no Richards buyout at $30 million. Trust me.
Yeah. No
doubt. Because we're not talking about $9,000 here or $90,000 difference. We're talking about $9 million. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're pretty close to it.
He's got five full seasons, so five times six is $30 million, man, you know?
Just under
$30 million. So, I, you know, wow. But it's big news. I mean, obviously the guy clears waivers. And you got to wonder, I mean, the thing is, I mean, Mike Richards' services could be used in the NHL, just
not
at that price. Exactly.
No.
I mean, unless, you know, I'm surprised teams that are sunk in the barrel right now aren't going to make the playoffs, that kind of thing, don't make bid for Richards. Teams like Buffalo's and, you know, teams like that, but who knows? I don't know. I mean, you know, I think the guy's got some game left too. But again,
well, in the end, that story is one of these. Dean Lombardi's done all the right things. He brought two Stanley Cups. He's built a powerhouse team that's kind of struggling. They've had an up and down season again, but that team's still a team that's to be reckoned with, regardless with or without Richards. And how can you fault the GM there? I mean.
Yeah,
he's won two Stanley Cups. I mean, everybody used to think Los Angeles was just a place to go play and, you know, suntan and stuff like that. But they've got two Stanley Cups under their belt now. They're a pretty good organization. So, as for Richards, he could probably help a team, Paulie. But this is what you get with these long-term contracts and salary caps and everything else. The only way Mike Richards will ever see the ice in the NHL again. Is that if the Los Angeles Kings and him agree to a buyout and then he accepts a contract for the standard veteran minimum? But other than that, I don't see any team picking him up. That's just way too much money.
No. You are 100% correct. That's exactly what's going to probably, you know, more than likely go down. I mean, I would dollars to donuts on it. While we're there, we're going to cover the Kings and then we'll talk about the All-Star game. The Kings got quite the hill to climb, and if there's a team that could do it, it is the Kings. But they're hurting for certain. I mean, you know, they got let's cover this real quick. The Los Angeles Kings have played 47 games. Okay, they got 52 points. They're way out of a playoff spot, you know, with teams like Nashville, St. Louis, Chicago.
Anaheim, San Jose.
Anaheim and Vancouver. But, you know, if there's a team that can do this thing, it's them. And if they make a playoff spot, and it'd be pretty scary. But they do have quite the hill to climb because, you know, that Western Conference is, it's either you're, you know, leading the pack or you're just rock bottom ugly. So it's gonna be real interesting to see. The Kings have really got to start turning it up. The last 10 games, they're 2-3-5, man.
Yeah, not good.
It's pretty bad. So if there's a team that can do it, though, I think the Kings have that. They know how to build confidence quickly. The first year they won the Stanley Cup, they had a battle to just get into the playoff spot, and I think they were in the bottom. They were in the seventh or eighth position, and they wound up winning the cup. So there's a team that can do it. It'd be interesting to see.
I think all the rest of the teams in the West are probably hoping that they don't make the playoffs.
Yeah, no kidding, especially teams like Anaheim and St. Louis.
and Chicago.
Yeah, in Chicago, yeah. I forgot about that one. That was one hell of a series. All right, let's do this because this is big news. I mean, obviously, coming out of the All-Star break. The All-Star disaster. Lack of true sport superstars, lack of any intensity. The All-Star game was far from anything All-Star at all. What should be the best in the world turned out to be nothing short of the backyard game of hockey. Honestly, it would just seem like an ice hockey party at best. It was boring. It's time to change the format and make the game and the events worth something, or don't have it at all. Cots, I'm not going to sit here and tell everybody that I watched it all the way through.
I'm going to tell everybody I watched absolutely nothing of it. Not the skills, not the game, not the drafting, not anything, because I know it's a farce.
I watched it.
It's an absolute joke is what it is.
Here's the funny thing about it. My favorite part was Friday night when they picked the teams. It's funny. And you figure if they're going to goof off and have fun and the funnies are going to be, that was the spot for it. That was the place for it. And I don't have a problem with having fun. I get it's the All-Star game. But it just continued for the next 2 days.
There had to be a rerun of like Gold Rush or Axeman on Friday night. That's what I was watching.
The skills competition was a joke. I mean, besides the hardest shot, the skills competition I thought was an absolute joke. Nothing but goofing off and playing around. I mean, it was nothing. And then the game, they talk about, nothing to take away from John Tavares, ties and Voracek has the record now for, the most points. And
if I played that game, I'd have scored a goal.
Yeah, I mean.
Come on, 17-12. I mean, I think some of the worst men's leagues that worry about their beer after they play at midnight around North America, they don't even score 17 goals in one game.
Yeah, it was just.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry.
Now,
fans, if you don't like it, if you don't like what I got to say, oh, well, too bad. That's why we're the instigators.
Yeah, it was.
I think it's disgusting to see that kind of crap, And honestly, it's all about the labeling of the product, Paulie. Let's call it what it is. If you're trying to draw fans to the game, please label it that way. In other words, the youth of America, the youth of Canada, the youth of North America, around the world, they probably enjoyed that stuff. In fact, I had somebody Facebook me and say he agreed with me calling. I posted a little thing about. Now that everybody's done with their oohing and aahing, it's time to get back to real hockey. He said he brought his 7-year-old kid there, and now the kid loves the game. That I understand. But for the rest of us and for the rest of the people that paid their hard-earned money to watch that, come on.
Right.
The NHL should let the kids in for free every year to watch that All-Star game live, wherever they play it. They should let them in for free. And if you're going to do it right, let's do it. Let's reverse it. Let's play the game first and then do everything, the festivities afterwards. I think it was awful, to be honest with you.
You know what, Cots? That's part
and
of the.
And this is coming from somebody that didn't see it either. Remember that. I didn't see it. I just go by what everybody told me.
And well, I have to tell you, honestly, I'm going to sit here and tell you I was extremely bored. I thought it just was a mockery of the game, to be honest with you. I mean, the All-Star
game.
That's it.
But hasn't it been that way for years? It's been that way for years.
And honestly, it's time, I believe, and that's why I opened this up. I really believe it's time to think about a format or to make something happen. Hey, you might have something. You know what? Let them play the game. Here's the thing. I know, you know, the big talk about everything is, well, you know, you don't want anybody to get hurt. And I can agree
Nobody said that 30 years ago and 40 years ago and 25 years ago and 50 years ago. How come nobody said that then? Oh, that's right, because they're all millionaires now. That's why.
Yeah. But there's got to be
something. That's why we don't want to get hurt.
At stake. There's got to be something at stake. There's got to be something worth something here. There's got to be something to make this a game again, make it competitive, make it, you
know. Like baseball did, Paulie. Like your favorite sport, baseball, that I don't even watch, but I still know stuff about it. They play the All-Star game as to who has the right, the American League or the National League, to the home field advantage in the World Series.
Yeah, and I think that's a bit extreme.
Why is that a bit extreme? It would give the guys on the All-Star team who think they're going to the Stanley Cup a little more giddy up and go.
Right,
the sea wouldn't be parting as often as it does in the All-Star game, so your goaltenders can get shelled.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you with that. I mean, you're not going to have guys scoring four goals. I can guarantee you that. And, you know, there might be a little more board play as well. But I don't know. I really don't know what the answer is, because I do understand the side that you don't want guys to get hurt. I mean, let's say, you know, like, and I'm a Ranger fan. I don't want Rick Nash to go to the All-Star game and get hurt. You got half the season left to go. I mean, I understand that. But at the end of the day,
isn't it ironic how we talk like that now in the last like 15, 20 years? You want your guys to be recognized on your favorite teams as an All-Star, but you really don't want them to go because they're going to get hurt. They might get hurt.
Yeah.
That's how much the game and society has changed now.
Right.
Think about it. Like everybody's upset Henrik Lundqvist didn't get a spot in the All-Star game. Well, you know what? Personally, I'm glad he didn't go. I'm glad he went over wherever the hell he went to have a little holiday and get himself ready for the last, 35 games of the season.
Yeah.
I'm glad he didn't go and get bored with all that stuff and have to sit there and take, you know, play a period or two of hockey and get, you know, 52 shots thrown at him and nobody's trying. You know what I mean?
I'm glad he didn't go.
You know what I'm saying? But this is how sad it's become. We want them to be recognized as a fan of your team. We want them to be all-stars and feel proud when they make it as an all-star. But now in deep behind, you know, your thoughts are, oh, I hope they don't get hurt. I hope they don't get hurt. I don't know. We would have never said this stuff 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. Mind you, it was a different time then, different All-Star game, even before I got in the league, where the Stanley Cup winner played an All-Star team. You know what I mean? So it meant something to them. But there's so much money involved today. I understand why it is what it is. But don't tell me I gotta start bringing the pom-poms out and tell you how great it is when I know it was crap.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say about it.
So I don't know what the answers are, but I'll be curious to see. You know, hit us up on Facebook and let us know what you think. There's got to be something done. I just don't know exactly what it is. You know, maybe Cotsy's right. Maybe they need to, you know, that's why
I got it.
Did what they did.
I got it. Let the North Americans play against the Europeans. Oh! What a great idea that would be.
Oh, I love it, man.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, boy, I love it.
I might even watch.
Oh, my gosh. That's some good stuff right there. That's classic.
You're gonna really, right. Trust me. You're gonna think about that even after the show. What I just said.
Yeah, listen. I mean, there are a few suggestions, and like you said, I mean, the reason baseball.
So take the Detroit Red Wings
and
let them play the All-Star. No, I'm just kidding.
Baseball did what they did because it became, you know, too much of a joke and it wasn't much involved and they did what they did. And, you know, that's a huge impact. That makes these guys, you know, play. It makes them play. So that's a good suggestion. Make it, if it's worth something like home field, then you're going to see a much different outcome, a game that might actually be fun to watch. Who knows? On the flip side, like you said, North American versus European, that could be fun. There's some bragging rights because you think about all these guys that, you know, they want to go to the Olympics, and we talk about, you know, injuries and money, and that's where the NHL's got to kind of bow its head and cross its fingers and hope to God their guys come back okay. But yet everybody wants to go, and everybody gives it the best they can because it means something to them. So if you do have a European North American matchup, it means something to them. And you know, I don't know if they decide to. It's the All-Star game, and they decide to, you know, create some type of trophy for the winners or whatever, but. You know, North America, some kind of bragging rights, some kind of positioning, some kind of something, because what we saw this year has been the worst that I've seen in a long time. And you're right, it's been progressively gotten worse. So it was a disaster, and if you saw it and you're a hockey fan, what I've seen posted on all kinds of social network was, you know, it's insulting. It's insulting to the fans. It's just a big old party.
It's insulting to the ex-players too.
I'm sure
the former players that were never able to achieve that status of being in an All-Star game. You know what I mean? It's insulting. I mean, honestly, there was no skills shown. There's been no skills. Well, nobody's checking you. Nobody's doing anything. Anybody can look good out there. You know,
right.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah,
but yeah, it is what it is, and I'm done with it. Until they do something with it, I'll probably never watch another one. So. That's it.
Wrap it up. All right. We are going to – we got plenty of room and plenty of time. I'm excited because I want to do – I want to spend probably 45 minutes to 1 hour on the New York Rangers, and we'll be going to talk about a lot of things like Mark Stahl's extension with the New York Rangers and everything New York Rangers. So – the first thing I want to do is I want to go around the league. Hopefully we'll do this in 30 minutes or less. We will start with the Western Conference. Conte, Nashville's for real, buddy. 67 points. Pekarinen's out right now, so we'll see how they go. Last 10 games, 7-1-2. This team has got something to say with Laviolette, so I don't know how you feel about it, but their goals for are amongst the top of the league, 141. I mean, you look at Anaheim, their goals for are 143, so they're right there in scoring goals. This is a team known for the longest time on their defensive play. A lot of things changed. Home record, they're 19-2-1 at home, Cox.
Well, obviously, again, I mean, from the beginning of the year, I still had my doubts, and I still have some doubt in that team because, you know, they've done a great job in their first year with the new head coach, the new change in philosophy, as they say, when a new head coach comes in. But well, seeing is believing. They've been absolute. Whenever people have been like believing in them in the past, and they had some pretty decent teams in the regular season in the past, I want to see them actually advance in a playoff round or two, you know, before I say, yep, you're right, Paulie, that they're for real. I still have my small doubt on them, but numbers can't lie, and right now they're proving me wrong. So, in the end, we'll see.
All right, well, we're gonna jump around here. We're going to go to the Pacific Division out west with the number one team right now in the NHL, the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, 70 points, 143 goals for. Their home record is 18-5-3. They have a pretty crazy away record, 14-5-3. Not too damn bad. 8-2 in their last 10. They're on a 6-game winning streak. We've talked about this team time and time and time again. They always seem to be there, and you know they're a really good team. What's going to make the difference this year over any other year, Scott, if any?
Well, not choking away a 2-0 lead like they did last year against the Kings. I mean, bottom line is, it could have been that mighty double. Not choked in the playoffs, but I mean that hockey club. I mean, between Getzlaff, the rest of the team. I mean, they're solid. Like you said, their record's like one of the top records at home, and probably one of the best records on the road. I mean, that's how you get 70 points. I mean,
right?
They're good. They're one of the better teams, if not the best team in the league right now.
Okay.
For them, it's all about not choking in the playoffs. That's all.
Jump back over to the Central and West Division, the St. Louis Blues. They've been through their ups and downs a bit this year. 62 points, 29-13-4. Their home record is not a joke, 18-4-2. They're 7-2-1 in their last 10 games. They are a trending positive team. Any thoughts on what's making the difference there? You think goaltending is finally solidified?
Well, I don't know about that. I just think that all their failures in the last 2-3 years, they've gained a lot of experience. I mean, when you look up and down that roster, that's another team that's trying to simulate what wins Stanley Cups. Big,
right.
Strong, fast, you know, big defense, good moving defensemen they have on that team. You got a big set of forwards up there, a lot of skills with that Tarasenko, you know, starting to bloom as a superstar. I mean, think about it, Paul. They're trying to just simulate what's winning Stanley Cups, and you know, it's not always about the small, speedy guy. You know, it's got everything to do with still having the size, even though the game is far from where it used to be, and when it comes to its physicality and toughness and dirtiness and fighting and all that, but you still need a little strength along them boards, and you still need a little strength in front of the net, and that's how the West builds their team. Even, and I know you haven't got to them yet, even your beloved, you know, second team, the Detroit Red Wings, if you take a look at their roster now, it's not a small, speedy team anymore. It's a big, speedy team.
Yeah.
That's what everybody's trying to do, except for one team, and we'll be talking about them shortly.
All right. Jumping down, San Jose. I just don't know. 56 points, not
are
very
they
good.
Capable? They've been capable every year for the last 8 years, no question. But they just haven't been able to do it. Period. And I would tell you, I'll make a prediction. The Sharks don't go a long way. Everybody there, including Doug Wilson, including everybody else that's running that organization, because you spent a lot of money and a lot of time there trying to build that team, and you've come up short year after year after year after year, and you know losing after being up 3 games to whatever, 0 against the Kings last year. I mean, that's really got to stick in your ownership's mind.
Right.
If not this year, I would clean house there, personally. Clean house. That's my thought on them. Are they good? Yes, they're a good team when they're on. There's about 6 teams in the West, Pauly, that are really serious contenders, I think, for the Stanley Cup, when you really think about it.
Yeah. You know who's a surprise out there? Back jumping to the Central. And I mean, not a lot's being said. But they're not too far removed here, the Winnipeg Jets, with 60 points. I mean, they're 7 points behind Nashville. They're only 2 points behind Chicago and St. Louis. So, I mean, they're voting well for, if nothing else, a wild card. This is a team that, you don't really hear a lot about in the media. I mean, they're not covered. They're plus 16 in the differential of goals. They're 26, 15, and 8, 60 points, as I said. Their home record is 12, 9, and 3. Their away record is one of the better ones in the NHL with 14, 6, and 5. And in their last 10 games, they're 6, 3, and 1. This is a team that not many are talking about, but yet very surprising to be placing where they are right now. Yes, there's 30 games, 35 games to some teams left in the season, but a little bit of a surprise out there in Winnipeg, and I'm glad to see it.
Yeah, I mean, it's good for the franchise, and you know, obviously I told you I don't watch much of the other teams anymore because I don't have the hockey package, but when I do see the Winnipeg Jets on TV, they're a hard-working team. And
they are.
They're one of those teams that's trying to build a team the exact way that the Los Angeles Kings has won their Stanley Cups. You know, big, strong. That's what they look for. They look for big and strong. They're not a small team either. That's a big-sized team. I mean, they got some physical players on that team that like to muck it up, and they got some pretty good skill. Their goaltending's fairly decent. And it's good to see because they did go through a little bit of a slump this year where, you know, people were, like, wondering about Winnipeg, period. But, obviously they bounced back and bounced back good. But you're telling me, see, I don't know this, the road record, 14-6-5, that's incredible. That's a great road record.
No doubt.
Better than their home record, period.
That's a lot of points on the road, no doubt about it, yep. Obviously, we're going to talk about one of the top contenders out west, the Chicago Blackhawks, 62 points, 148 goals for. They're 30-15-2. One of the best goal differentials in the game at plus 40. That's some serious stuff right there. Home record's pretty solid, 16-7-1. They're 14-8-1 on the road. But in their last 10 games, they're just .500 with 5-5. This is a team with, I think, arguably the best player in the world with Jonathan Toews. And, you know, A1 with Patrick Kane, that don't hurt too bad either.
I got an argument for you. There's a guy in Long Island that I think is starting to challenge for that position too.
Well, I think he's got to play, you know, at least 10 years before you can say, you know.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that anyway. I think that guy in Long Island is starting to challenge everybody, and that includes Mr. Crosby these days.
Well, I don't know. I think, you know, Jonathan Toews is no joke. He's got quite.
No, I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying John Tavares right now is as good as anybody in the National Hockey League. I said it.
He's as good as anybody right now.
Yeah, he is.
All right. Well,
They're leading the East. There's a reason why they're leading the East. But no, Jonathan Toews is. Come on, he's got probably the best degree, the best history of his accomplishments out of any NHL player that's playing right now. Think about it. We've gone through this before.
Yeah,
couple,
I know. A
couple of world championships, couple gold medals, couple this, couple that, couple of, you know, this, three this, through that. I mean, he's got more than he's if he was like a military guy, he'd have more medals than anybody. You know?
Yeah,
and with Patrick Kane there, I mean, Patrick Kane is as fine because we talked about Patrick Kane years ago when we first started doing the show. He's finally matured, Paulie, from an 18-year-old kid to a 24-year-old now, 25 maybe. He's finally matured, and his skill is unbelievable. Then you got Sharp. I mean, Sharp's having a great year for that team. I think he actually either leads that team in scoring goals or is pretty close to it. I mean, they're a good team. They're probably on paper, I'm just saying, probably the most skilled team on paper.
Yeah.
From the defense all the way through.
I'm a big believer in the Blackhawks are, you know, a contender and will continue to be one. We're going to jump around a little bit here because I want to get moving through this.
Yeah.
Calgary has you know, come back down from a pretty big high, 55 points. They're 6-4 in their last 10. Their away record is still on the positive note, 14-10-1. But home record is pretty impressive. And they haven't really played a lot of home games, obviously. They're 12-9, well, not impressive, I mean to say, 12-9-2. This team has gone through some highs and lows. At one point, they were one of the hottest teams in the league, coming back down to earth here. But they're still pretty, you know, they're a hard, we talk about a hard-working club, they're a hard-working club. They can play physical. That's one team, you know, they don't have a huge amount of skill, but find ways throughout the lineup to get it done.
Well, I think, we don't get to see them much, but I do remember just before the All-Star break, they had a West Coast tour there between L.A., Anaheim, and whoever up and down there. Maybe Colorado was involved, and they had a pretty good road record during that last road trip that they had. So, I think they're building. I think they're a good team. I think they'll probably make the playoffs, no problem, but I don't think they're ready yet to really, really contend. They're not ready yet.
Yeah.
They're probably 2-3 players away, maybe add a goal scorer or two here and maybe solidify their goaltending with a good backup. But other than that, they're building, and they're not going to be an easy out if they make it. But I'm not worried about them, being a serious contender.
All right, we're going to bounce over. There's not much to say. Vancouver-wise, this is another team, though.
Oh, you mean how the team that Torts left them, that good team? He left them with a pretty good team, didn't he?
they're much better now. They're much better now.
But that's the team he put together.
Much better now, 55 points. They're 5-5 in their last.
They're rebuilding. That team's rebuilding.
But I tell you what, there's so much room in the Pacific. You got Anaheim at 70 points, and then everybody's, San Jose's 56.
I know. But let's call it what it is. You're not going to sit there and tell me that the Vancouver Canucks are a threat to win the Stanley Cup, are you?
No, I believe not.
Calgary's not a threat to win the Stanley Cup. I mean, come on. We could zero it down to about 4 to 5 teams in the West and probably about three teams in the East, maybe.
But they are a team that's going to make the playoffs more than likely this year.
Yeah.
All right, let's go out.
They'll be somebody's victim.
Yeah, let's go out East. Talk about one of my favorite hockey teams. 65 points tied in the East for number one, 48 games played. I wonder who it is. The Detroit Red Wings, 28-11-9. Their home record is pretty impressive, 16-4-6. They're 8-2 in their last 10. This is a team that really not many people are talking about, but yet they lead the East. And Cassie's
What do you want me to say? You want it? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why they're up there. Take a look at their roster now. And count the Europeans compared to the others that they never used to have. That's all. Simple as that.
I'll leave it at that. So you mean
they're not. They've changed their team. They've changed their makeup. That team used to be predominantly all Europeans, remember?
Yeah.
It's not quite the same anymore. It's not as lopsided anymore.
That's all I'm saying about it. All right.
It was lopsided before. Come on. You should know their lineup like it was nothing.
You're never going to give them any credit for just adapting.
That's never going to happen. Never going to happen.
I know.
Never.
I know.
Never.
I got you. So we're just going to move past it. We're not going to make any progress.
Move on.
Okay. Let's jump around here. The Pittsburgh Penguins playing tonight and losing against Washington 1-0 with 15.
Oh, there's a game on
in the second period. Yes, there is. There's actually a few.
I've been flicking it back and forth from American Pickers to that game. So yeah, it's 1-0 still.
Crosby back tonight. Malkin's still not in. Cops, this team, when you look at them, you know, when I look across the board here, home is 17-7-3. Away is 10-5-5. They have not had a last good 10 games at all. They're 4-3-3. This isn't the Penguins of old, Cots. What has changed so much in this team that they're not one of those dominant teams like they used to be? I mean, honestly.
I'll tell you exactly why. They don't have the grit that they used to have. They don't have it anymore. They got all the skilled players that they need. They just don't have enough grit. That's why they traded Marcel Gotch today for Maxime Laperriere.
Yeah.
They know that they're not tough enough. They're not gritty enough. They're a good team, but like I agree with you, they're not the dominating team anymore. I mean, Sidney Crosby, like I said, I've been telling you he's the best player over the last 5 years in the National Hockey League and the world. He's losing his grasp on that title every day now in my book. I still think he's the best, but there's a whole bunch of contenders now, like John Tavares is a contender, Jonathan Toews. I mean, we can go on and on and on about all kinds of players now that are closing the gap on who's actually the best player in the league. But him and Malkin, I mean, they're still superstars, but they don't have enough grit. I'm telling you. They just don't have enough grit on that team to play some of these bigger, stronger, tougher teams. They made a trade. They got rid of a guy that was a skilled player, Gotch, who I think played for, Nashville at one time? They got rid of him and brought in a shit-disturbing Maxime Laperriere.
I thought it was with Dallas.
So at least they're addressing their problem.
All right, moving on. Tampa Bay Lightning, 64 points, 19-4
good team. Good team.
They are 500 away. They're at 11-11 on the road. They're 6-4 in their last 10. Goals for one of the top in the league, 158 goals for. Actually, not one of the top, but the top goal-scoring team in the game, Tampa Bay Lightning, 158 goals for.
They're a good team.
Cots, all kidding aside, the additions this summer and obviously the trade, do you think Callahan, Boyle, Strawman, do you think it's a big difference with the Lightning on where they are today and where they were last year?
I think it's a difference. I don't know if it's a big difference. I think it's a difference that they all started the season the same time this year rather than Callahan getting there through a trade, last year.
Right.
I think it helps because, regardless of what we think of them, and regardless of what people want to say about them now that they're in Tampa, they're pretty experienced guys. They've been to the championship games, these guys. You know what I mean? Callahan never got to a Stanley Cup, but he got to a championship game in the East, and they're pretty experienced, and that's something Tampa's been missing since the good old days when they did win a Stanley Cup. They haven't had that kind of experience, but you also got Steven Stamkos, who, again, is another one, that contends for the best player in the world. You got that giant in net there who's hard to score on. You know what I mean? Anyway, they're a good team.
Yeah, Jonathan Drouin.
They're serious. They're a serious contender. I think they're a serious contender in the East. I do. I believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to fold like an accordion in the playoffs. I think they'll be a tough team to beat.
Matter of fact, I'm invited to go Saturday night. I'll be sitting in one of the luxury suites.
They play
the Columbus Blue Jackets. Yeah, I mean, I get so many opportunities to go to games, but, if it wasn't a Saturday night, I wouldn't even attempt it. Anyway, moving on. The Montreal Canadiens 63 points. So, I mean, they're up there. 126 goals scored. Not what I would think. You know, away record's pretty powerful. 14-8-1. They're 16-5-2 at home, and they're 7-2-1 in their last 10. They've won 3 in a row. What's the difference here in Montreal? Is it Carey Price just doing his job night in and night out, and the Habs are just able to find the opportunities? Or do you think this is a Stanley Cup contending team?
I don't know about Stanley Cup contending team, but I will say this, and this is no slight to Jonathan Quick or Henrik Lundqvist or any other goaltenders having a great year. Carey Price, to me, is probably the best goaltender in the league. I mean, he stopped 40 shots
really?
Last night. Yeah. Right, come on. Are you kidding me? The guy, he's done it all too, Paulie. I mean, he's won world gold medals and stuff like that. And you know, he carried that team last year as far as they went in the playoffs last year until he got hurt by Kreider. I mean, you know,
then
you got to look. I mean, just look at his goals against and look at the shots. He stopped 3 shots last night in Dallas, I think,
on the
road. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, I think he's probably the best goaltender in the league right now, and he probably has been for a couple of years. But, again, it's arguable. I mean, Jonathan Quick, Lundqvist has been super. I mean, there's a lot of guys that have been really, really good, but Carey Price is the reason why the Montreal Canadiens have a shot at anything.
Yeah. I think Pekka Rinne's been good, too.
What's that?
I think Pekka Rinne's been pretty good, too.
Oh yeah, but again, Pekka Rinne's doing it. You know, this year with a new coach and basically a new philosophy there in Tampa. I mean, in Nashville. So yeah, I'm not knocking him either. But Carey Price has been a damn good goaltender for a lot of years.
It hasn't been just one year
for him. You know what I mean?
Here's a team I really want to discuss because this team is very confusing. And it's a team that we've talked about quite a bit for quite a while. The Boston Bruins, Scott, one of your favorites when you were a kid, 57 points.
Mm-hmm.
Middle of the pack, fourth place in the Atlantic. Are they the team? They're 6-1-3 in their last 10. They are away, not a very good team. They're 10-9-3, so one game above 500. 15-7-4. At home. This is a team that we've talked about for a couple of years now. Big, strong, you know, solid goaltender. You made, you know, for a couple of years here, you talk about goaltending, Tuukka Rask. I mean, the big, strong team that.
Well, I was just responding to that one guy on Facebook that used to call in all the time, Mr. Haley, not convinced about Tuukka Rask. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, really?
Yeah.
I mean, Tuukka Rask is a good goaltender. I agree with him. He's another one. It's arguable. I mean, if it wasn't for him, they don't win a Stanley Cup that year.
Right.
I mean, period. But you're talking about them now.
So the Boston Bruins are built the way we believe a team should be built for the most part, Cots.
They could use a little more skill, though, like when it comes to up front.
Right. Because once you come out of Patrice Bergeron,
they're not really, really like to me having that. Bruins have never, like, even when they won a Stanley Cup, they didn't have that dynamic forward.
Right.
You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
They had just a pretty. Everybody was pretty much even. They were good all through four lines, and they're still that way. I'm not knocking them.
Right.
Their team hasn't been fully healthy all year.
Right.
But that's another team, like I'll say to you, just like the Los Angeles Kings, I will bet you right now that there's 3 or 4 teams, including the New York Rangers, that do not want to see them make the playoffs.
Right.
That's the kind of team they are. Now, the Montreal Canadiens have no problem playing because for some reason the Canadiens play them well. But there's certain teams that do not want to see the Boston Bruins, and I know the New York Rangers – do not play them well. In fact, they've lost 8 in a row to them.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah, the Rangers don't play Boston well at all.
No, at all. So that's a team, I'll leave the same remarks that I left you with Los Angeles. There's probably at least 3 teams in the East or 4 that are saying to themselves, come on, somebody pass Boston, will you?
All right, we got to move quick. We're falling behind here. All right.
That's all right.
Let's talk about the Washington Capitals really quick. This is a totally different team than what we're used to seeing. And Alex Ovechkin's getting a lot of praise because he's a plus player. He's plus 11. He's one of the league leaders. He's second in goals. They are a 57-point team. They're 24-14-9. Home 12-5-5, away 12-9-4. They're 5-3-2 in their last 10, so not that hot in their last 10. This is a team that everybody's saying that, you know, Trotz has made a difference with Ovechkin. Trotz, where do you think Washington is? I mean, compared to last year, they seem to be the same team as far as points go and status goes. They're not out of it, but they're not, like, knocking down doors.
No, they're not knocking down doors. But again, it's a team that's, you know, they switched coaches from Nashville to Washington. There, Trotz has a certain style, certain philosophy. And Paulie, I've always said to you, Alex Ovechkin's a great talent. I've always said that.
Right.
But I've always told you that the guy's a dog. He's a selfish player. Well, I think Barry Trotz is starting to convince this guy. And maybe he's convinced himself, too, that, you know what, I have been a selfish player all these years and worried about this and worried about scoring, worried about me. And until he understands that, which the Crosbys understand, which the Tays understand, which the Tavareses understand, this team will go nowhere. And he's starting to understand that. I'll give him credit for that.
Right.
I'll give him credit for that. But, you know, When you come up with the responses that he came up with last year after a season where he's minus 34, you know, I'm still thinking this guy's been in the league almost 10 years and he still acts like a dog. You know, but he's changed his way. Well, I'm calling it what it is.
I'm not convinced yet,
but he's changing. How's that? And I've always told you, until that happens. This team will never win with him there. So he's the key. He must change his attitude, his play, in order for his team to get better. And he's doing it so far, but we'll see. The only thing I didn't like is the All-Star story. I know we're late, but I got to say it. Here's a guy whining about being drafted. He wanted to be drafted last in that draft so he can get a free car out of it. Jeez, Alex, like, isn't there like a Russian Lada somewhere for you to buy a car somewhere? To give to the kid that you wanted to give to, you cheap, you know, SOB.
Right?
I mean, come on. And they gave him one. They gave him one anyways because he whined like a little girl.
Yeah.
You know, don't buy a car. You make $10 million a year. You've made $100 million in your career. Come on.
I know. You need somebody to give you. Anyhow,
that's all I got to say about him. When he learns 100% that his team will only go as far as his attitude goes. And he's starting to. I'll admit it. He's starting to. And good for Trotz, you know, get it through to him.
Yeah, I like Barry Trotz. All right, we're going to hit the phone lines real quick. I've got a couple of phone calls I want to take.
Really?
And then we're going to hit the then we got to talk to New York Rangers. I got subjects we didn't even cover, and I know we didn't cover all 30 teams. But I got a feeling this has something to do with the All-Star game. And I believe...
Oh, you think, huh?
I believe... This is oh, my God. Come on. Man, I tell you, I love this switchboard. 570 out in Totsy Land.
Oh, is this Howie?
This is, yeah, Howie Sussman, I bet. Howie,
it's got to be Howie. He's like 10 miles down the road from me.
Yes, it's me.
We send smoke signals to each other.
Yeah, right.
What's up, Howie?
Oh, not too much. Just, you know, relaxing on a, you know, on a cold Wednesday night up here. So.
There's Pierre McGuire interviewing my ex-teammate, Mike Johnson.
Let me ask you this, Hal. The All-Star game, did you watch it?
Not one second.
Like the true hockey fans we are. Isn't it the truth, though, huh?
You know what?
Not one second.
Back in the, yeah. You know, back in the day when they actually gave a, you know, gave a you-know-what about it, I watched it because it was fun to watch. Now, I mean, all I was watching my Twitter timeline, and people were just like, what a farce. The NHL was getting ridiculed online.
Yeah.
You know, it was a disgrace. You know, I mean, basically it was looking like they were having a practice out there. At least make it look like some, you know, some
effort. No doubt. All right, if you want to hang with us, we're going to go into New York Rangers. Obviously, we're going to talk about the game last night. And it looks like the Crazy Greek's online. What's going on, you Crazy Greek?
Hello, I'm doing okay. What's up, fellas?
Hey, long time.
I know you
watch
the All-Star game.
The All-Star game, come on. All the All-Star games, taking all the sports.
I thought they gave, Costa, I thought they gave you tickets to go to it.
Yeah, right.
But I know you better. If they don't send a limo, you're not going.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? All right, guys, hang on one second. I'm sure you got a lot to say, but I want to do this really quick. One thing I do want to cover, and then we got to go New York Rangers here. And I do this with all due respect to Ranger fans. They can say what you want, but on the hockey side of things, Marty's going to announce his official retirement tomorrow. Marty Brodeur will retire. 3 cups, 4 Vezinas, a couple of gold medals, the most wins in the game, most shutouts in the game. Say what you want to say. They're talking about him even joining the Blues brass in the front office there. I got to tell you that, I mean, I think this guy's record and things like that speak for himself. But, you know, as Ranger fans, you want to hate the guy, but as a hockey guy, you got to tip your hat to one of the best ever to play the game. And tomorrow night, he will retire.
Who wants to go first? I'll go first. Listen, the bottom line is, in the modern day of hockey, and I'm old enough to remember the Sawchucks and the Glenn Halls and all those guys from back in the day. I watched them play. But in the modern day hockey, between Marty Brodeur and Patrick Roy, because I refuse to say Wah, those are the top two goaltenders that have played probably in the last 30 years, as far as I'm concerned, period.
No doubt. No doubt.
You can either put one at one and the other one at two, or reverse it. I mean, there's no argument to be made there. Those are the two best goaltenders, probably, like I said, in the last 30 years have played hockey in the National Hockey League, by far.
And you know what, Kotz? I've read and heard a lot of people take your approach to. A lot of people felt that it was a shame that Marty Brodeur had to go and play 7 games with the Blues. Should have just retired.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I didn't like that at all. But you know what? I guess he explained himself pretty good the other day about that. Who are you to tell the guy? You know what I mean? I mean,
right.
Who are we to tell him? He asked my opinion. That's what I thought. I thought he just kind of like. It's going to look stupid, you know, somewhere down the line that, you know, you'll see St. Louis Blues when he could have been a full-timer, you know, all his whole career with the New Jersey Devils. But, you know, hey, who are we to tell the guy? You know what I mean? It's his life.
I see there's a thriller. I think the game's in where? New Jersey? Toronto, New Jersey are tied at 0 in the third.
Well, maybe they should have played in the All-Star game. Maybe they should have played the All-Star game.
Oh, boy, that's good stuff. Looks like Washington's still ahead of Pittsburgh with 4:56 in the second period, 1-0. And from what I'm seeing here, Toronto and New Jersey are tied at 0 early in the third period there. All right, let's do this. Hats off to Marty Brodeur, no matter what people can say what they want to say, but he's one of the best. All right, we went around the league. Here we go. Let's start New York Rangers. And we did the 30 and 30. We did not talk about the New York Islanders for a reason. We're going to cover them shortly right into this as we talk about the New York Rangers. But we'll start here as we open the gates. The Rangers agree to terms with defenseman Staal on a contract extension. New York Rangers have agreed to terms with defenseman Mark Staal. The deal is 6 years worth $5.7 million per season. It's the place I want to be, Staal said. Full no-trade clause for the first 3 years. And a partial no-trade clause at the end of 3 years. I'm trying to get through this for a lot of reasons. And I know Kotze's laughing because he knows my opinion.
No, of course.
Listen, I'm a Ranger fan. I love the New York Rangers. Okay, I'm like third-generation Ranger fan. I'm sorry. We have a Dan Girardi. We don't need a Mark Staal. If we have a Mark Staal, we don't need a Dan Girardi. I'm hoping to God somebody wakes up after last night's debacle on Long Island. And I'm just going to say it the way I see it. Ranger fans, this isn't a negative thing. It's a positive thing, I believe. The best part of last night's loss is somebody's got to wake up to see that speed alone is not going to win you a Stanley Cup. You faced the LA Kings last year. They grounded you down. Guys like Mark Staal are not physical enough to deal with the Williams of the world, the Clutterbucks of the world, the Martins of the world. It's just he can't do it. He just cannot do it. He's big enough. He just doesn't have that part of him. The Rangers' speed is a great asset, and I believe the philosophy is now you can't hit what you can't catch. But guess what? When you pin it in, you're in a lot of trouble. Last night's game proved that. I hate to say this to your Ranger fans, it's going to kill you, but if you don't realize it, I'm going to throw it in your face right now. The New York Islanders are a better team all the way around. They have better defense. They have more skilled offense. And they have more grit and bigger players. And they proved it last night. Don't get me wrong. The Rangers had their opportunities, and Halak was there for them. But as well, the Rangers couldn't contain what the Islanders gave to them. They can't handle the physical teams. Bottom line, I know Kotze's going to bring in some of his homework. Look at the teams the Rangers struggled to beat. Boston, now the Islanders. Tampa's a bigger, stronger team. Teams that have some skill and some grit, Los Angeles. I mean, I hope to God last night's loss reflects into the brass to make them realize that changes need to be made. Tanner Glass had to grab Martin's face from behind because the guy in front of him wouldn't go with him. That's a problem, guys. That's a problem. Tanner Glass gets thrown off the ice because he's got to come and be a rescuer because there's not enough guys on the ice that have any kind of guts. Mark Staal signs a 6-year deal. Now what? You're locked in with Staal, you're locked in with Girardi. To me, the best defenseman on the team has been Klein. He's got the most goals, he's got the most fights, and he's got at least a little bit of ugly in his game. This team's in a lot of trouble, and last night proved it. This is a team you're going to have to face in the playoffs. And this is a team that isn't going away. So I'll leave it there for my co-host and great friend and former New York Ranger defenseman, Chris Kotsopoulos.
Listen, I want to hear Howie's and Costa's response first, and then I'll finish it up at the end. I think Paulie, there's a lot to be said what you said there. I think the real serious hockey fans understand exactly what you're talking about. I want to hear what Costa and Howie, either one of you guys, want to step in and tell us what you think, and then I'll give you my thoughts on it afterwards.
Coach, you go first, the crazy Greek.
Why
did
we lose you? I'll just say this. We had at least 3 to 4 guys down on the farm that could take Stahl spots. We didn't have to spend $5.7 million on Stahl. That's all I have to say.
That's right? It? Wow.
And let me just say this. I'll just say this, too. This is what happens when you stink for years and have good draft picks.
Yeah.
That's why the Islanders are where they are.
Well, they've also made some good deals, too. I got to give a lot of credit to Snow.
The right way.
They did build the right way. And the thing was is they had the luxury to build the right way, okay? Because the fan base is that poor that they had the luxury to build the right way because they didn't have a lot of pressure. It's not like Toronto or New York or Chicago and, you know, those types of places.
Or the Rangers, there's a lot of heat.
Let me explain something to you. I said this time and time and time and time again. The New York Rangers, the Toronto Maple Leafs, those teams can go 0-82. And I promise you, every seat at Madison Square Garden and Air Canada Center would be still bought and paid for, because that's all they care about is they don't care about winning championships. They care about making money.
Well,
all right,
Howie, what do you think?
Well, we lose you out.
No, I'm still here.
There you go.
My take?
Your take on Stahl and last night's game.
Well, last night's game, I thought, you know, way too much time obviously spent in their own zone. Way too many giveaways. McDonough looked like a statue. That tic-tac-toe goal, that was just like, can anybody touch anybody on the Islanders? The Islanders are good, but let's bring them back to earth a little. And I'm sorry, Gropovsky, give me a break. But I checked out, honestly, after it was 3-0, because I was like, you know what, they're not coming back. And I keep telling the Islanders, I have a lot of Islander fan friends through growing up and obviously on Facebook and Twitter. And I'm going, these fans are not realizing that they have no quality backup goalie. If something happens to Halak, and they're going to wear him out, that's going to happen too. They're going nowhere. And as good as they are in this half season, I've said them all along, prove it to me that you guys have a quality team in the playoffs, because regular season success means nothing if you don't win in the postseason. They kind of brought them back to earth a little, because I'm like, hey, as a Ranger fan, we all know how many times we've had really good seasons and crapped out in the playoffs.
Yeah. Howie, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit there. You know, I think the Rangers proved that they could ride one goaltender. It was a couple of years ago to the Eastern Conference Finals. How many games did Lundqvist play that year?
I don't remember. That's the problem.
He played a lot of games that year. Trust me, because they were number one overall in the league that year in points. Remember? And I remember telling Paulie D that he was probably good for about 20 wins that year himself.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried about if you got great backup or not great backup. You got to give the Islanders a lot of credit. I mean,
I'm not saying that they haven't had a good season. They have.
I'm just going to tell you what they've done this year that other teams failed to do. Okay, Paulie hits it right off the bat. He's been saying this since the beginning of the year. Why is it that nobody else went out and got Boychuk?
Yeah, it's amazing. You think
the
Rangers
guy's an awesome player. Nick Leddy, another one. You know,
former,
Kuhlman for, like, I remember Kuhlman when he played in Carolina. I mean, these are great additions to the team that already built through their, you know, drafting first for years and top five for years.
Good.
great pickups to have on the team. Now, John Tavares, whether we want to hear it or not, is as good as anybody in the league right now as far as I'm concerned. He's as good as anybody.
Absolutely.
If you want to say this guy's better, I'll say he's just as good. That's all I'm saying.
No,
he's that good. And their team right now is built to play whatever way you want to play. You want to play fast? We can play fast. You want to play physical? I got a physical fourth line that's probably the best in the league right now. Their fourth line with Clutterbuck and Matt Martin, and I don't even know who centers them, they're good in the offense. The puck's in the other team's zone with these guys. It's not in the Islanders' zone when they're on the ice. It's almost in the other team's zone with that line. I mean, I'm very impressed with the Islanders, and I believe they're for real. I'm telling you right now, they'll be around in the playoffs, and they're going to be a tough out for anybody because their team is built perfectly. Skill, size. Now, here's what I'm getting to, but why I want to wait at the end. I'm going to throw some stats at you guys now, and I did a little homework today. Do you know who has the smallest teams in the league this year?
Rangers.
The New York Rangers and the Carolina Panthers are tied for 29th in size.
Thank you.
Carolina Hurricanes.
The average height for the Rangers is 6'5" or something like that, and I think their weight's 198 pounds. That's the average. Mm-hmm. Now, the next stat I'm going to give you. Do you realize how old the New York Rangers team is compared to the rest of the league?
28.9, I think.
And that's the third oldest in the league.
Yeah, it's because of St. Louis throws them over that.
Well, I'm just saying, there's certain things that need to be done there with this. I think right now, okay, Paulie, here's where I'm going to get into my say about the Rangers. I think I'm going to put this in categories, okay? Excellent teams, great teams. You know what I mean? Very good teams. I think the Rangers are a very good team. And when teams play the same style that the New York Rangers want to play, Rangers will beat them all day. If you play the New York Rangers style of hockey, you will lose to them. They're fast. They're quick. They'll pressure you. They'll control the puck. As long as it's a fast, quick-moving game, they're the best in the league right now. And I'm not the only one that says this. There's a poll up in TSN up in Canada where the coaches and general managers got together.
I saw that.
And they have said this already, that they think that they're one of the best teams in the league at that. Now, when you look at the records against the Islanders, 0-3, 0-3 against Tampa, I don't know how many times they played the Bruins this year, but they haven't beat them yet either. They're 1-9 against the Bruins, Tampa, and the Islanders in their last 10 games. Now, the reason why is one reason. Teams play them physical. Those three teams own the boards. They initiate. A guy like Clutterbuck runs Mark Stahl into Lundqvist in the second period yesterday. He picked him up and just threw him into the net. You all saw that, right?
Yep.
Did you see that play? Why is it the New York Rangers never initiate stuff like that? They're always on the taking end. That's my opinion. I mean, it takes Mark Stahl to get involved with Matt Martin, which is really a mismatch. Matt Martin would tear him apart, but it looked like he was going to give him a hard time. But it took three Rangers to come to his rescue. Now, I'm not blaming Mark Stahl like Paulie is. Trust me, I'm not. That's just not his style. He won't do that. We know that. But there's not enough of that on the ice, in the lineup, period. And I'm not saying you have to, change three or four players, but there's got to be a couple guys in your lineup. The Islanders have it. Matt Martin's one of them. Clutterbuck's one of them. These guys skate around, and they know when they play the New York Rangers, they have nothing to fear.
True.
Milan Lucic has nothing to fear, of any kind of repercussion. And this team is going to have to beef itself up and be able to adjust if and when they have to meet these guys somewhere in the playoffs. If they think they're going to play Montreal Canadiens and Pittsburgh Penguins all the time in the playoffs, then I'd leave the team alone because those two teams don't have that kind of style. They play perfect. They're perfect matchups for the New York Rangers.
Yeah.
They are. They're perfect.
Yes.
I think they're...
That's it. That's all I got to say. I mean, they're one of the smallest teams in the league.
Yeah, I was going to say they're soft like
and they're passive. And they're a passive team. They're not an aggressive team. They're a passive team.
Talk about this, and I've said it a billion and a quarter times. I was glad to see, obviously, Tanner Glass at least played this time, because the last time they played the Islanders, he wasn't in. I really hope that, and again, Chris Stewart is available. I know he's on the block in Buffalo. I mean, practically, I could actually field that phone call if I wanted to. That's how available this guy is for the right price. Now, Buffalo is looking for, they're not looking for your overpaid superstar. They're looking for younger talent because they know that they're in a building process. They understand that. And I hate to say it, Ranger fans, but if you look at the realistic reality of what the Rangers are right now and where they need to be, Hank doesn't have a billion years left in him. Marty St. Louis and Rick Nash don't have a billion years left in them. Okay? The core group of guys... This is a team that can contend. They proved it last year. They proved it years before. They're a couple of pieces short for making this thing. But now is the time, and I hate to say it, they did the same thing in 94. You might have to give up some blue chips, guys. And, you know, what you consider blue chip, that's on you. But guys like Miller, Fast, Carl Hagelin, Patsy's talked about it. Zuccarello's contract is coming up. Stahl's contract was coming up, too. I was very disappointed to see that. I'm not going to lie. You got Dan Girardi locked in. You got Klein, who I think is a really good, defensively, it didn't make sense to me, but I'll move past that. Stahl's now locked up, so he's no longer a player that can be moved.
Nope.
But, a Chris Stewart and players like this are what I think the Rangers need in a fourth line, okay? Just for fast, I don't get it. I don't get it. You look at the team last year. People could say what they want to say about Brian Boyle and, oh, he's a waste of this, and he can't do that, and he can't do this. The guy played heavy, okay? He was a heavy player. He's a big man who could win puck battles, who can keep defensemen, hemmed in at times. They don't have that heavy anymore. They need that heavy. Tassi made the point. Martin's not playing 19 minutes a game. But that line, when they're on the ice, they make a difference. They can hem you in. He scored last night. All that kind of thing. But, the Rangers got to look into start moving the guys like Jesper Fast and Millers. And here's the good news. You still got the Muellers, the Duclairs. You've got other guys in the system. I'm sorry, but Carl Hagelin has been rendered almost useless as a New York Ranger. Yeah, he had that score. He scored a goal last night. But for the Rangers, they have enough speed. You got that speed. A guy like Hagelin to move out, or Zuccarello. I mean, I'd hate to see Zooks go, but Kotz makes a great point. He's looking at $5 million a year. How are you going to pay Zook $5 million a year and get locked in with maybe a $72 million cap next year? If you're lucky, being the Canadian dollar is at 86 cents. So, the cap is going to be reflective of where the Canadian dollar is as well. So the cap's not going to move much, maybe $2-4 million. There's a lot of things to take into place. And all of this being said, is the Rangers don't have a huge shelf life to keep making these runs. something's got to be done. You've got to go out there and get what you got to get, because now's the time for the Cup. These next 2 years, I think, are critical for the New York Rangers. I really, really do. I don't think Hank can be superhuman forever.
Agreed.
So,
yep.
There's a lot to be thought of there, but last night the Islanders showed you speed, skill, and just the right amount of ugly. I mean, I've talked about it for years, and Gottfeld backed me up. I said, the Islanders are building a team. The Islanders are building a team. The Islanders are building a team. And then when this summer came and Letty and Boychuk and Halak got on board, I was like, oh, shit, the Islanders got a team. And they've proved it. I mean, if you look at their team, there's so much balance. They're big and strong. They're fast. They got a lot of skilled players. Kotze said, you know, Tavares this year is voting for one of the better players in the league, if not the best. Oposo's out, and I always called him supposed to, but now he's got guys around him, okay? It's not just Kyle Oposo. You know, there's so many scoring threats on that team. There's speed, there's skill, there's goaltending, there's defense, there's maturity.
But they're big.
There's cup players.
They're big. They're big. They're a big team. Their smallest player, who's not even in the lineup, is, I don't even know if he's with them anymore, going into the season, was Lubomir Vyshnovsky, and he was 5'10". They don't have anybody under 5'11 in their roster. Nobody.
Well,
I'm just pointing it all out to you. Nobody under 5'11 on that team.
After last night's game, the only good that I think comes out of that is Glenn Sather, and I'm a big fan of AV. Kotze knows I'm a big fan of AV. There's a lot
oh
I
boy.
Disagree with.
River.
Oh, well, I couldn't stand Tortorella. It made me sick.
I know. We know that.
But the thing with AV is now you got Malone, which he's got a two-way contract. You bring him in and out of the lineup. You got Tanner Glass. You go out and get a Stewart, okay? And
that,
maybe
and that's
somebody
it. That's
else.
A, listen, that's all you need. Hold it. Stop right there. I just want a roster that I can adjust as needed as towards the
right.
team I play. Just bringing up Malone and getting a Chris Stewart would be enough. That would be enough for me right there. I don't need any more. No, they're not going to play every game because you don't need them against certain teams.
Right.
When you got to play the beefy teams, they're the fourth line. Those are two parts of the fourth line right there.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. You got to have that because as a listen, guys. I mean, we all watch the game. We all think we know better and everything else. I know what it was like to play a game when I felt like I was the king of the ice. Okay?
Right.
I know what it was like. Matt Martin skates around playing the New York Rangers like he's the king. Trust
right.
me. He has no fear whatsoever.
And he's not the only one.
Any physicality coming his way. None. Other
he's
than
not the only player.
Tanner Glass at the end game. But I'm just giving it. I know what it's like. No, when you get on ice, yeah, you know what? I'm kidding tonight. And the Rangers don't have that with their present lineup. All they have is Tanner Glass. Klein will step in, but Klein's really turned out to be pretty damn useful defenseman overall, so you don't really need him doing that either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, he's contributed more ways than just, you know, asking him to be the tough guy on the defense. There's a big difference here on how your team plays against physical teams. If you feel that you have somebody in your lineup that could combat or at least match, doesn't mean you have to win any battles all the time with them, but at least match them. Then the rest of your players feel good about that. Feel comfortable out there. Trust me, unless you got that in your lineup, you're not really comfortable as a 20-man unit out there. And the Islanders have proven that when they play the Rangers. They basically, let's face it, guys, they beat them pretty easily 3 games in a row.
They have. Look at it. I think they've outscored them, what, 23 to, like, 3 or 6? I mean, even 6 points would be a lot.
It ain't that bad, but it's just the facts. The Islanders right now are, I agree with you, Paulie. I think they're on their way to being considered a great team.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion. I feel that way.
Hate to say it. All right. We're about fixing to go into. I did say fixing. Imagine. We're about ready to into the podcast. So I want to get close to wrapping this thing up. Howie, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate the phone call and the support to the show.
Ain't no
problem. Howie, we will meet up somewhere in close to here. I don't know where though, because our pickings are very slim here when it comes to like the kind of, you know what, place where I'd like to have a beer.
Well, there's places down in the Lehigh Valley, so.
Oh yeah, well, so that means you're driving then.
Fine. I'll pick you up.
Hey, you guys can have a snow shoveling party.
Hey, listen. I'd rather
75 tomorrow.
Paulie, I'm going to go out and do some angels in the snow for you tomorrow, because when you have to sweat your ass this summer when it's 95 and 120 humidity, how many shirts are you going to go through in that day, huh? How are you going to go through?
That's
funny.
Well, that is what it is. Howie, thanks again, man. I appreciate it.
No problem.
See you, Howie.
All right. Good night. All right. This was fun.
Is the Mad Greek going to finish it up?
I think he got dropped about 45 minutes ago.
The Mad Greek got off?
Yeah, I think his phone call got dropped.
Yeah.
He's no longer in my switchboard. So, we appreciate the Crazy Greek calling.
He makes some good points about, you know, like Toronto going to sell out and Rangers and all that. But, you know, like there is something about CEOs and general managers and staff that these people hire that they do want to win too, though, because it keeps their nice little, luxury life going if they don't win. So
there's a lot of things taken into consideration there, no doubt about it. I will say this,
It's really not that hard about the Rangers. Like this is what we do. We're the instigators. We're looking at all the Achilles heels, you know, possibilities that the Rangers have. I mean, we could talk about what they do great. Listen, they're a great skating team. They're a pretty skilled team too. Let's face it, they are.
Yeah,
great goaltending
sure
and Henrik Lundqvist. You know, regardless what we think about individual players, it's a pretty good team, and we know that. And that's why I say they're a very good team. They are a very good team. There's no question about that.
I agree.
But for me, my personal feeling is what I was worried about last year when they did get to the Stanley Cup. And yes, it was close and everything else, but in the end, I think the physicality was basically what beat them down. They were close games. There was 2 overtime games, this, that. But I do believe it nullified the offense of the Rangers. Because
and I think the Rangers had more of a physical team last year, too, Cotts.
But they got
Rangers
worn down by the bigger, faster, stronger team. That's what happened in that series.
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
And I think
with you.
That's the biggest problem they're going to face again this year. They could end up with 100 points this year. They could end up winning the East. I mean, it's not that far of a realm right now. Think about it. They still got games at hand. The Islanders got a little bit of a lead on them. There's a lot of games left. But in the end, it's what are they going to do when they have to face an Islander team? What are they going to do when they have to face a Boston Bruin team? What are they going to do when they face Tampa? Are they going to go with the status quo that they have now? Or are you going to fill in the spots that I believe you need to beat these guys in a 7-game series? If it's Pittsburgh, I don't worry about it. If it's Montreal Canadiens, I don't worry about it. Even if it's the Washington Capitals, I know they're a bigger physical team too, but for some reason, last couple of years, the Rangers kind of have their number. You know what I mean? But those three other teams that we're talking about, they don't have their number. And they're not even close right now.
No. No digits.
No, I just don't think that they have the right lineup to play those guys in a seven-game series. And it's not much. It's just like you said. It's a Chris Stewart here. Call up Malone and just, hey, big boy, you know, we're not asking you to score seven goals tonight. Go out there on the fourth line, take your 2-3 shifts a period, bang the boards a little bit, let them know that, hey, it ain't going to be easy tonight. That's all. It's the same thing with Chris Stewart. That's what I tell him. I don't want you to go out there and cause World War III. I want you to go out there and play tough, hit their defense from every chance you got. That's what fourth liners do.
Yep. I agree. But
and by the second, third period, hopefully you wear them down to where your number one and two lines start to take control of the game. But when you've got four lines, neither line does that, you're not wearing anybody down.
Ain't wearing them down with a just for fast. I'll leave it at that.
Listen, I'm not blaming him either. He's caught in a tough spot too, Paulie. Think about it. I mean, you got him and JT Miller. These guys have been, you know, regardless, I know AV's been a good coach, and I know, but he's been twisting these guys in and out of the lineup too. So they're kind of walking around on eggshells every day, wondering whether they're going to play or not going to play, in the lineup, not in the lineup. Then you got Oscar Lindbergh down in the minors too. He's another one that they're high on. You know what I mean? And you do have trade bait here. There is trade bait here.
No doubt.
It's just a matter of pulling the trigger and picking the right guy. That's all.
Well, we will see. And like I said, I hope that last night's game opened up the eyes of the brass and they realized that there are other components that this team needs if they're really, really going to make this a big run. I just want to say for Kotze and myself, it's a pleasure bringing you the programming week after week right here on Blog Talk Radio. Make sure you check out ChrisKotsopoulos.com and Kotze's Designs, I-9 Sports in Pasco, Florida, and hit us up with any email questions or if you want to advertise with us at the instigatorshockeyshow@gmail.com. Kotze, we're going to end the show. As always, it's a pleasure bringing you on and letting you tear it up.
Yeah, and there's one thing I just want to say to anybody else that's still listening right now or going to listen to it later is it's okay to disagree with us. I mean, that's what we're here for.
Absolutely.
Oh, you can disagree with us.
Bring your opinion.
You will be challenged in your disagreement. That's all. That's just the way it goes. And it's okay for Ranger fans to come on my Facebook and disagree with each other. There was a little bit of a war going on last night between some of my good Ranger fans that go on there. And it's all good. I don't mind that. As long as it doesn't get out of hand, you know what I mean? But there was a little bit of a war going on Facebook last night between a couple, three guys. And, you know, hey, it's all good. We're all Ranger fans, so just keep that in mind.
Good stuff. All right. With that being said, we'll catch you next week right here at Blog Talk.
Hey, Paulie, I got to go plug my electric park in.
Yeah. Stay warm and safe there. Don't drive.
All right. Talk to you later.
This weekend. All right. Good night, everybody.
Hey, guys. This is Paulie D with the Instigators Hockey Show with some exciting news. Now's your chance to advertise with us right here on the show. Whether it's a live read-in or a produced spot, this is the time to go top shelf and advertise with the Instigators Hockey Show. For more information, please email us at theinstigatorshockeyshow@gmail.com. That's theinstigatorshockeyshow@gmail.com. And drop the gloves on the competition.